Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at seventhgeneration.com.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, my sister, Emmy-winning writer, producer, and actor Lena Waithe talks to me about growth, building community, and why representation matters. I met Lena over a decade ago when I first moved to LA. We were both in a similar place and making moves to get to the next level in our careers. While the Lena I met was focused on pursuing TV writing, God had a much, much bigger plan for her life.
I'm grateful to represent a certain quadrant or group of Black women that oftentimes don't get represented or we aren't seen. So that's the thing. I didn't want to be on camera because that wasn't like something I needed. But then I realized, oh, it was needed though. That was needed. I didn't know that I needed to be on screen.
Sister, welcome to the pod.
Well, why do you always call it the pod?
Doesn't everyone call their podcast the pod? Is it just me?
You.
I mean, it is. You know, but it's funny you say that. I do always call it the pod. People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I have this to do for the pod or this. I mean, saying trials to triumphs every time is, who's saying that?
Like that, we like my podcast. But that's what we shorten things.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a shortener for sure. Welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
I love you. You're my sister. I've known you for 4,000 kajillion bazillion years.
Okay, I was about to be accurate and say how long.
Well, no, because that's my next question. So we start the podcast, all episodes. I like to ask my guest, how did we meet? So why don't you tell the story of how and when we met? If you're, I wonder if we have the same story, actually.
Hold on. Don't try to think. Was it a table read?
Nope. I remember it so vividly. It's impossible to forget.
Oh, shut up. I'm trying to think, but somebody introduced us, though. Is that correct, or am I making that up?
Nope. You introduced yourself to me. Yep.
See, you're trying to trick me. Okay, so we were at a mutual friend's. Whose house was it?
It was a Christmas party. It wasn't at a house though. It was like a gathering, like at a space, a lounge or something like that.
What?
Lena, okay. Would you like for me to just tell the story?
Because now you know threw me at lounge. I thought we met at somebody's house.
No.
Someone.
Yes. We did technically meet through somebody. So it was the winter of 20.
Not you saying the winter.
It was the winter of 20. I moved here in 2010. And Cody Elaine Brooks, shout out to Founders Day, who is my profi, my AKA profi. Had lunch with her?
Yes.
That's so crazy.
What?
Yeah. Okay, well, shout out to Cody. Love Cody. Cody. I knew Cody, obviously, from Howard and AKA Life. She was having a holiday party what for exactly. I'm not, maybe it just was to get people together. Maybe it was a mixer. I don't know. This was 13 years ago. And I remember you came up to me. I'm just like, you know, I'm 23 years old. I was probably 23 at this point. I'm just hanging out, whatever. And you walked up to me and were like, what's your name? And I was like, my name's Ashley Blaine Featherston. You were like, oh, you're a three namer. And I was like, I am. And you were like, has anyone ever told you you look like Kelly Rowland? And I was like, yes, actually, I've gotten that many times. And you were like, that's what's up. And we just started talking like for the rest of the night. And truly, we have been friends ever since. I wish it were more of a story. I wish something crazy happened. But I feel like from that day, we exchanged numbers. And we were instantly sisters, and we really never looked back. But it was a random encounter at an event that Cody had in almost probably 13 years ago.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at seventhgeneration.com.
That's some God stuff happening.
Yeah.
The fact I had lunch with Cody today.
That is so crazy. That's insane. I mean, that's very connected.
Crazy. She'll love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, we met. Okay. I'm not surprised by that interaction.
No, yeah. It's very Lena and it's very Ashley. Like, I mean, it's very, but I remember at that time, I think what's so cool when I look back, I mean, again, it's been 13 years, whatever, but when I look back in so many ways, we are exactly the same people. We were, I think what connected us at that time, even not really knowing each other, was just, we knew we were dreamers in the same way. We knew that we were Black folks trying to uplift Black people in the same way. We knew that we were people that were relentlessly going after our dreams. And I think that there's this common misconception that everybody in LA has kind of the same goal, right? I think everyone here wants to achieve something, but what's behind wanting to achieve something or how people are going about achieving something is different. And I think that's how you find your people, right? You find your people that are like, for a lack of a better term, about it in the same way. And you and I were and are in the same way. And I think, you know, that kind of just connected us. I want to start with some icebreaker questions just for some fun.
What do you want?
What's a major lesson you would say that you've learned recently? I feel like we learn lessons all the time, sometimes big, sometimes small. But if you really think about it, lessons come often. So I want to know what's a recent one that you're clocking in your brain and keeping for future.
That being a good person doesn't prevent bad things from happening to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's life. Life is going life.
I think people think sometimes if you're a good person, you have this interesting contract with the universe. Like if I do good things, if I do the right things, if I say the right things, if I be, you know, good at all the things, then only good will come. Like, no, nobody has that contract.
Yeah.
And so, I just read this book, Think You'll Be Happy, Nicole Avant.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah.
I recommend people checking that out. I think, and that might be, you know, like just read it. So I think that's something that, you know, there's a lot of lessons in there, you know, obviously, and hard lessons. But, you know, when I reached out to her, I said, this is a really, really beautiful way of looking at the world in terms of, you know, it doesn't matter how much good you do in the world. You have to, I don't want to say always be prepared, because you can't be, you know, that's also bad things never happen at a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then also, and then in a big thing for me, like, it's so interesting because Cree Summer and I hung out, as people know, but she said to me her religion is being present.
Mm.
Like, that is like, if you're present, it solves all things. That's so great. And I was like, for me, a big word that comes up is balance, in that I'm a big believer in, if things are going really good for a while, you know, you may stumble soon. And if you've been like in such a dark time for a long time, our light's going to be around the corner. It's just like, I literally, like, every, I was telling somebody, with every, you know, end of New Year's, you know, New Year's Eve or whatever, which we just recently come from, like New Year's Day and stuff, there's always this thing. People, I mean, can go in like about what they learned over the years and that year and all that kind of stuff. But for me, I'm like, I'm always finding a new way to say some good stuff happened, some bad stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. It's like, I literally just find new ways to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. And some people may say, oh no, this year was hard. So many bad things. But then it's like, but if you really ask that person and say, okay, but what are some cool things that happened? What are some good memories? They're going to have some things. They're going to say, well, you know, this did happen and I did get that and da, da, da. And they may say, well, it wasn't equal. It wasn't balanced. Maybe. But you can't say there wasn't some joy or some good in the year.
Yeah.
You got to acknowledge that, you know, as well as you acknowledge some of the dark times.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's the goal of living a harmonious life, mm-hmm. is understanding, and not only understanding, Lena, but appreciating the balance. I think mm-hmm. that you can understand that there's like the yin and the yang, right? Or there's the good and the bad, there's the dark and the light. But if you can't appreciate it, just knowing it isn't enough. You have to know, like, the only way I can get through the hard times is just what you said. It's knowing that trouble don't last always. It can't. So there's got to be something on the other side of this. You know, I'm in a tough season. Seasons change. They change every year. The leaves are not always falling. Sometimes, you know, it's spring and things are blooming. Like, so I've honestly been like, really being really mindful of nature, because nature reminds you of what's happening in your own life. You know, you have to, if you just look outside, you're like, oh, but there's going to be a time that there's like flowers back on this bush. That's really cool. If that can happen to this bush, it can happen to me too.
And I think that to me is what, like, when Cree said present, I say, oh, for me, I think it's balance. Like, and it's about embracing it, understanding it. And Young Pueblo has a really good, like, at least, I don't know if he says this in the book, The Way Forward, but he talks about not allowing life to toss you around, you know, but just know that life is going to happen around you. Because that's the thing, is if you really talk to a lot of people, sometimes you can feel them being like, yo, like, a big popular phrase now is life is lifing. Mm-hmm. Yes, how you doing? Life is lifing. And you hear it a lot. And you know what it means. Okay. And I think that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, life is always going to life.
Always.
It's just a matter of, like, where do we, that goes back to Nicole, think you'll be happy.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, you know, you hate the idea of, like, try to be positive when things are bad. I'm not necessarily a believer in that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to be like, you know what, it's a little tough right now and it sucks and I hate it and I don't really know what the lesson is in it. But then when you come out of it and you step back from it, then you kind of go, okay, you know what? All right. I'm kind of glad I went through that, because I'm a new person because of it, different person because of it. It doesn't always mean better either. Be different.
Yeah. Okay, Lena, take me to the beginning. What did Chicago give you?
I think Chicago really gave me, I think, my personality, you know, to be honest, in terms of, because Chicago is very much a city, obviously, but it also feels like in some place, like a small town. And so I think when it has, and also depending on where you are, if you're downtown Chicago, you can really feel, you just almost like, oh man, the cars zipping by and a lot of people and all that kind of stuff. But if you then venture to like the south side of Chicago, or like especially the neighborhood in which I grew up, where it's just like, you know, rows of houses on a small street, it can just really feel like a community. And I think but I'm both sides of that. I'm very much a city person, in that I move fast, I talk fast, I'm, you know, quick. But then I also am a person that likes to build community, not like we were talking about in the beginning, because that's what my neighborhood was. It was very much a community. And so because I grew up in my grandmother's house, and a lot of people in that block, elderly Black folks who had adult children whose children were living with them. And so it was a few houses. I wasn't the only kid living in a three generational house. There's a lot of kids on the block like that. And so we kind of have this old school upbringing a little bit, because we got our grandparents in there, teaching, and then our parents, who are a little bit less strict, and then we are trying to find our own voices. And so I think that really, being in Chicago in that way, and also going to college there, went to Columbia College in Chicago, which is located really in the downtown area of Chicago. I kind of got that feel too of being in the city, and then going back to my small community again. So I think that's, and I think even my work is a reflection of that. It's like you can feel the community in it, but you can also hopefully feel sometimes the fast pacedness of the work too, which is the
very
city.
Much so. And I love that you highlighted that you grew up in a multi-generational home. That was very much a thing of that time. You know what I mean? Like a lot of families were doing that. And even before that, like I know my mom talks a lot about like her family growing up, they all had this big like compound in North Carolina called Happy Hill. And it was like aunts and cousins and grandparents and whatever. They all lived together and they all worked together and went to school together, you know, whatever. And to me, that is so different from how I grew up. But for my mom, it was very much so normal for her growing up. But I want to know, you know, growing up in the same house as your mother and your grandmother, looking back, what would you say is a lesson or like some really beautiful wisdom that your grandmother imparted upon you as a young child?
So funny, because she wasn't that kind of grandmother. She like, that was not that poetic. It's a little bit more blunt. And I think that's why I have this personality. Like, I'm trying to think, what was she?
Or something you just got from her. Like, I mean, it could even be that.
Well, I think it was sort of, she was a grandmother that smoked cigarettes and drank highballs, as she would call them, which is like rum and coke, but she called them highballs.
Yes, and okay.
Sat in the bed and like watched television. She would watch her stories, like Lifetime movies, judge shows. She loved judge shows and stuff. So she really was a person from Arkansas, moved to Chicago when she was 17, and traveled a ton, had three kids, and did not let that stop her from living her life. And but you know, could cook like crazy, and just she was just very much, I think I got a lot of my personality from her too, in terms of she could be nosy but minded her own business.
Yeah.
And very much liked being in her house. Be in her home. She died in her home, which is important. Like she did not, like it was very much about, because she, you know, raised three kids and two grandkids in that house. And and even like, you know, on the awning on one of the doors, I had the H on it for Hall, the Hall family. Like it was really, because she was a Hall and married a Hall. Not that kind of
thing. Oh, wow. Interesting. Cool. She got to keep it.
Yeah. So it was Tressie K. Hall. So she wouldn't like say, granddaughter, when you this and that. She would just, her big thing was like, do not try hard drugs.
That's a good one.
Right. So it's stuff like that. Like, don't try hard. If somebody ever hits you, leave and don't come back. Like, just, it was like very matter of fact. advice, wash behind your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Such a weird, like you know, I was getting like a soap, like tattoo back here as like a. So those are the things. Wash behind your ears. Don't try hard drugs. And somebody hits you once, leave and don't come back.
Mm.
And then that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
And so my advice was like, okay, thank you. But I mean, like eight.
Yeah.
So it's also my mom was like, what? Like she took me to go see A Time to Kill. I'm like seven. My mom was like,
yes, wow.
The ideal. And so of course I wake up and I have a nightmare. So
my mom's like, course.
What? I was like, she thinks the KKK is trying to come get her. I'm like, I'm talking that because we went to go see A Time to Kill. Mom said, you took her to go see A Time to Kill. I just will never forget, like, that's also the thing about having a grandparent watch a young kid. They're sort of like, come on, we're going to see this movie. Mississippi
Burning. You're doing okay. What I'm doing. Yeah.
It was like Mississippi Burning, A Time to Kill.
Wow.
Seeing like at nine, you know, my mom was like, it's too, like, she's going to not be able to. So that's the interesting thing. Like, I really was exposed to these movies because my grandmother, who you would think, like, you lived it, like, you, why you want to, but I don't know. She just was like, look, it happened. That's what was going on. And there's a reason I moved to Chicago when I was 17. So.
Yeah. Okay, so what a
long-winded answer, but that's kind of
no. I get that. That makes a lot of sense, and a lot of what you described explains you a lot more. Actually, for me, it does. Actually, I mean, if this woman I'm talking to right now was watching A Time to Kill at nine, then you make perfect sense now. I mean, it all makes perfect sense. It all tracks.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, shout out to Sam. Yeah.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Okay, talk to me about your mom. Looking back at your childhood especially, what are you most grateful for that your mom, just from your relationship with your mom?
I mean, the big thing for me is the schools that I went to.
Mm, it's big.
There's also a preschool, too, that I went to that also was really amazing and great. I know people are like, what? But it was like this very specific like preschool that was like in this building that I can't remember the name of right now, but it was like a very special place for me to be a kid. But then Turner Drew Academy, which was like a magnet school or something that she found, and we went there, and it was really cool because we had there were really great Black teachers there, which was really important and really cool, and just a really great student body and just great faculty. And then I went to Chute Middle School, Chute Middle School in Evanston, which was also super interesting to me because I never even heard of that. And it was like, oh, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And so it was a really, you know, formative time. And to be at that school was really great, really great teachers there as well. And then obviously I transferred over into Evanston Township High School, which was like a game changer. And like me being there, just being exposed to so many different types of kids, like not just ethnic backgrounds, but like economic backgrounds as well. And so I was exposed to kids that had more than I did, but and not in a way that made me feel less than. It was, but also a big thing for me to understand that, oh, so you got two parents at home. Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like, I kind of realized, oh, okay, got it. I'm different in certain ways and things like that, but not less than anybody. It's just, this is what my family looks like. My family consists of my mother, myself, my older sister, and you got mom and dad and, you know, two siblings. Okay, got it. And it was just more like, oh, we're different in that way. Not better or worse. We just have different experiences, but we can still be friends and get to know each other and learn from each other, which is cool. And then she was supportive of me. She kind of wanted me to leave the city to go to college. I wasn't really ready for that. But I really wanted to go to Columbia College because you could major in television and writing and stuff like that. And so that was really interesting to me, which I'm really grateful for that she supported that, because then I did the semester in LA, which got me to Los Angeles in 2005 and in 2006, and I stayed. So a big thing was, like, it was such a specific journey in terms of the schools that I was at that really exposed me to different kids. And I think it's a big reason why I am able to maneuver in the business. And, you know, it's interesting because me vibing with Aziz Ansari is something that is not, like, it's not odd to me. It's not weird. It's like, yeah, what's up, man? Like, and people just feel like just believing us as friends. Cause like we just click, because I don't see a lot of difference in here. I see the things we have in common.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is a big reason people kind of believe us as friends. We are friends. I mean, we just texted, but, you know, we played friends, but it wasn't hard to play because I just, being around people with different cultures and different ethnic backgrounds was never, you know, it was just very normal, very natural to me.
Yeah. I think that's a very important, you know, I think a big part of part of the role of a parent is, you know, a focus on education and building your child's community. And, you know, it's important because those formative years are so important for shaping who they will be as an adult. So I think because of, like what you said, because of the schools that your mom was intentional in making sure you went to and knowing the types of people you would be around and diversifying your community, it made it so that you could come to a place like Los Angeles where, you know, everybody's out here and be able to vibe with people on your similarities and not just focus on your differences. Because I think ultimately, if you're only thinking about differences, then you're moving away from people, not toward people. So right. You were definitely, so yeah.
Yeah, I would say too, in my neighborhood, it was all Black. You know, that is just the truth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I watch a Rainbow Push Coalition on Saturday. Like, it was just like, it was very that. And so I think she also was like, I need to diversify your experience, because it was, yeah, I didn't really see white people. That's just the truth. and I think she was picking up on that a little bit. Or if I did see them, they were like in A Time to Kill. And so I think it was just like, you need to, you know, you're in a beautiful Black bubble, if we will. And that was great. But I think she also was like, you got to, you know, kind of get out in the world a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look to you as someone who, I mean, you are community. So much of my community is community that you introduced me to. And I was going to say it's a passion of yours, but then I was like, but it kind of is, though. I do think a passion of yours is like
building
community and connecting good people and seeing what can come from that and helping to support that in any ways you can. And I think that it shows, you know what I mean? But yeah, at first I was like, passion seems, but no, I do think it's something that, like, is part, it fuels you in a way, and it's genuine. It's so genuine. Like, you, from the moment we met, you were trying to introduce me to people. I had just met you and you were like, you got to know this person. You got to know that person. I think this person would be a great friend for you. And look at us now, you know?
I know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I think, you know, and I think I get that from my grandmother as well. She would host, well, everybody would take turns, but they would do block club meetings and stuff.
You said block? What's that? Block. Oh, like on the block, like the block. Oh, got block it. Okay. Meeting.
And yeah. And so she would, you know, I remember her hosting those, or hosting poker nights. She was a big poker player. She would host poker nights at the house. And so it was, I think I definitely saw that a lot. Like, her letting people come to the crib, you know, play cards, to eat food, to commune. And so I think it was just very, obviously I'm a young kid, like kind of, you know, witnessing, like kind of watching. And I think, so it's really cool to be an adult now and to do that in my own way.
I know, but we've always done it. Like we've always done it. And it's amazing. Like, I'm just really grateful for it.
No, me too.
Leans, I want to ask you. Okay, so you know, when I met you, you were like, I remember you just so, you were in the season of your career where you just wanted to be a staff writer, which is like, looking back, it's like.
Did I have a career? Or are we?
You had a career. You were writing, I think, on How, or you were on How to Rock.
I was? Okay.
Or you were about to be one of the two.
Okay, fair.
But I remember, for example, when you first got Bones, and I remember we visited your office and we were like, Lita.
Casey today.
You saw in Casey today too?
Well, via Zoom.
What? That's crazy. Yeah. Well, shout out to Nkeche. Like, wow.
A creator found,
All America, all the things. All the things that you like, she's created. But I remember us visiting you on the lot and you being like, yeah, y'all, like, look at my office. And we're like, whoa, you have an office. It was like a cute, like the tiniest office ever.
Well, I didn't think I even wrote in there. It's nuts.
But you worked really hard to get there. But what I want to ask you about is, because I obviously I know that you're on all the podcasts, all the shows, talking about the whole rundown of your career, which is beautiful and amazing. But what I want to know is, like, I think a lot of people feel like, I know I felt like this, like you're in a box. I don't feel like this now because I've worked through it, but I think a lot of times artists feel like they're boxed in. They pick a thing that they want to do, they're going after it, and they feel like once they might maybe get some sort of success in it, that they're boxed in. But for you, what I know we saw happen is that you had a goal of being a writer. You really, and you wanted to be a damn good writer. And of course, you wanted to eventually have your own shows. But what's happened is that your career has bloomed into so many different things that are for sure outside of the box that you maybe initially put yourself in. And we're going to be happy being in too, might I add. You would have been happy, I think, just totally like writing, creating stuff, and going about your day. So what I want to know is, what did it, or what does it actually feel like to have these opportunities that are coming to you that aren't necessarily what you intended, but that maybe instinctively you knew that you should go after, and ultimately it's transformed your life and your career? I mean, we can talk about Master of None. Like, you had no intentions of acting. Like, I remember you being like, guys, I don't do this. And we were like, yeah, Lena, we know. What are you going to do? You're like, I mean, I guess I'm going to give it a shot. So just talk to me about that season in your life. And then ultimately, now that you're years into being the multi hyphenate, what does it feel like now?
You know, I think it, look, it's very true. I did not visualize myself being on camera. That's just not something I thought about. Yeah, but I really wanted to be a really, really strong television writer. But, you know, God works in God's way and has a way of, you know, showing you the God vision that you don't have. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, my love of TV, I think got me there because I'd done a pilot presentation, 20s, which you recall, you're in that. And so, Allison Jones, the casting director, saw that and people like wrote about it and it gotten some buzz and stuff. And so, I was trying to do what Justin did with Dear White People with that trailer, you know, to try to get my thing going, which Justin directed the 20s pilot presentation as well. Justin Simeon, shout out to Justin. So
yes,
I put that out there and Allison Jones saw it and she just asked to meet me. And I didn't really understand why, but she was like, yo, talk to me about this. Like, what is this? And I said, it's just this show idea I have, you know, kind of loosely based on me. And she's like, okay, that's interesting. And we talked about TV. She is an iconic casting director. Yes. Like, she cast Bridesmaids, Veep, like, I'm just, you know, Freaks and Geeks. Like, she's began many a career, and I'm honored to be, in that camp. But, you know, we just talked about television and that was it. I didn't really think anything of it. And then fast forward, she's casting this show for Aziz that doesn't even have a title. And he says, look, before I audition people, can you just send me interesting people to talk to? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk. And then based on that, I'll see if I want to read with them. And it is by the grace of God. Allison Jones said, oh, you should meet Lena Waithe. She's interesting. And then I got a call to go meet Aziz Ansari. And I thought, I'm like, oh, great. Maybe I'm writing for it, but it's kind of office. So then I go, I sit down and I talk to Aziz Ansari. And I talk to Alan Yang in Aziz's living room. I'll never forget it. And I just was just myself. You know, and I think I've been doing writing staff meetings for so long. That's kind of how I treated it. You know, even though they hadn't read a sample, they were just wanting to know who I was. And so I was like, all right. So I was talking to them. I'd just fallen in love and I was talking to them about that. And I was just unapologetically myself.
Yeah.
And walked out the house. And of course, I got a call that Aziz wanted to read with me. And I went to Allison Jones's office and read with him, and you could just, it was instant. You could feel like something happened. And we just were like, okay. And they did the thing you're not supposed to do. Like they were laughing at my ad-libs and you know, enjoying it too much. Cause I was like, they not supposed to really give away like if they like you or not, or they just like, they just were like, this is great. And then I got to test, which was crazy. And they did something really cool was that they, and I always give Aziz and Alan this credit. They had me test with someone who was a white straight girl. Mm. And it was kind of, to me, my thought process was, if this is 1998 and this is an NBC pilot, the white straight girl gets the part. Mm. But this is Netflix. It's a new day. The character of Denise was supposed to be a love interest for Aziz eventually, a friend that becomes a love interest. And so he was like, this is so much more interesting.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. He's like, yeah, so you want people to play the character? Because the character was still straight when I was reading it. So I was having fun with that. And he was like, let's just make her lesbian. I'm like, that would be.
I'd appreciate that, you guys. Thank you so much.
And he's like, okay. And we didn't even know in that conversation that, you know, we would ultimately really change our lives, you know, for the second season of the show. You know, when they casually asked me in the writer's room, so how'd you come out? What was that like? I was like, well, you know, and here comes my grandmother, here comes my mother, and me talking about what that was like coming out to them. Even though I didn't come out to my grandmother, technically came out to my mom, but you know, my mom and her friends, you know what I'm saying? And which was also real, you know, like, you know, talking to my mom's friends and stuff. And, you know, and then thus, the Thanksgiving episode was born, which was such a whirlwind and such a beautiful thing. And I think that's why, to me, I'm so excited when I see about the community again, to see Quinta come do her thing, to see Io come do her thing. It's like, I remember those times where you're just like, yo, yes, I'm a voice. I'm here. I'm unique. I'm different. I'm not like every, you know, and Issa also, want to give Issa some love, like showing people think about it, like Issa Rae, Quinta Brunson, myself, Io's amazing. Like, you know, like how we're all different black girls, you know, and that's what I'm so excited about is people, and the list goes on and on. You're different, you know, and Nia Gervier, a Courtney Salls, like we all have something different to offer. Yeah. And I'm grateful to, you know, to represent a certain quadrant or group of black women that oftentimes don't get represented or we aren't seen. So that's the thing. I didn't want to be on camera. Cause that wasn't like something I needed, but then I realized, oh, it was needed though.
Mm-hmm.
That was needed. I didn't know that I needed to be on screen. People always ask you, Netflix, strong black lead. When's the first time you saw yourself on TV? When I saw myself on TV.
Yeah, and like you said, it was a part of the bigger God dream. God said, you have to be here. I need you to be here, and this is your end to get here. It's not the end you might have thought it was going to be. You didn't submit a writing sample. No, you're testing and auditioning with homegirl, the white girl that was opposite you or whatever. And, but I'm taking you somewhere so that you can keep doing what I sent you here to do.
And what's crazy is like, I was nervous about it because I sold The Shy at the time, but they waited for me to go do the show and come back because David Nevins was very smart. He was like, well, look, go do the show, get famous. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put, you know, he already knew he wanted to do The Shy, but it was just, they had to wait, they had to go do that, but and then come back and do the show. But I just knew, I was like, this is, I don't know what this is. Obviously, it's very early days for Netflix, Aziz, you know, but I loved him on Parks and Rec. And, you know, him and Alan weren't tried and true yet. This was their first time doing this, but I just really believed in it. And I was like, yeah, I'm game. Let's go. And it was one of the, it still continues to be one of the great, you know, three yeah. seasons. Just pure creativity. And obviously, really, you know, Aziz really handed me the ball season three. And it's just been such a wonderful ride.
Lena, what has been your takeaway from our conversation today?
Is that my is kind of obvious. I am who I am because of my upbringing, basically, mm-hmm. which is like, and I mean in terms of not just the city, but I think my grandmother, my mom, the schools. I want to give the schools credit, teachers as well. Like that, even though it seems obvious. Because you're like, how did you become this? It's like, I am a product of the people that reared me.
Definitely. My takeaway from our conversation today is that it's really cool to grow up. Like, I feel really grateful to be sitting here with you in 2024 on the pod or on my podcast.
Proud of you. Working and killing it.
You know, I'm also doing something that it wasn't a dream. I said, when you met me, I didn't have the dream of having a podcast.
We should have been on that.
I know, but the point is like, it tracks. Of course, this is what I'm doing, right? Like if you know me of like, this makes sense, but it's grateful or I'm grateful rather to have that conversation with someone who's known me for so long and knows and appreciates and honors the journey just like I do yours. And yeah. It's for me, I'm always grateful for the people that remind me of how far I've come mm-hmm. and who keep reminding me of where of how much further I have to go. Yeah. And so I just love you. I honor you. I thank you. And I'm so grateful for being able to grow up together. Honestly, yeah. I feel like we've grown up together in LA and it's a blessing.
And still growing up too.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, Lena.
I'm so proud of you, Ash. Like we made it. We did it.
Yeah. You know? We're doing it. Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Our managing producer is Fatima Elswifi. Shanice Tindall is our lead producer. Jordan Thompson is our marketing coordinator. This episode was mixed by Trin Lightburn. Michelle Baker is our video editor. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you did, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcast to ensure you hear the next one.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar cards, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your car.
Every style, every home.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh generation laundry detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula for when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea. Totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation laundry detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at seventhgeneration.com.